You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
My girlfriend sucked 37 dicks.
In a row?
Hey, buddy, you gonna eat that sausage?
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Tell me something, my friend.
Am I the only one around here who gives a shit about the role?
Ladies and gentlemen!
Your complete attention, if you please.
The Epic Film Guys Podcast. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Epic Film Guys Podcast. Epic Film Guys Podcast. Wait, that echo went away.
I thought you put all the effects on after we recorded the show, like while you were in editing. But apparently that's not the case.
Yeah. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a fun show for you tonight. We've got a fun, little bit different show for you tonight. And you'll see what that means as we kind of go on here tonight. But I, of course, am Nick.
And I am Justin. And we are not joined by Sneezy. Isn't that one of the seven dwarfs? Isn't it?
Check.
The socks.
Check. Sound check.
Well, I thought you said he wasn't.
The A1 boy sucks. No, he's not. I said we are not joined. We don't have Sneezy here with us. Just gotta give him some shit. I felt bad. Maybe if he had a beer, that would have helped with his allergies. I don't know. Last week on the show, but if you listen to our review of the Meg,
he's allergic to garbage, and that's what the Meg was.
Oh,
so
dude, took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah, there it is.
At least that's what I have to believe it was. So yes, the sauce. I'm not here tonight, but he's here in spirit.
That's a lot of cum.
I don't think that's the spirit we had in mind.
No.
God damn it.
Certainly not.
But we've got a lot of stuff to talk about.
I saw
legitimately a shitload of movies over the weekend, so I've got a ton of stuff to talk about. Justin, on the other hand, saw nothing.
None. I saw zero movies. I'm extremely excited because Summer of 84 is coming out this week. A film by RKSS. Now, those of you uninitiated, this is how the sauce and I met. Alamo Drafthouse, Turbo Kid. If you have not seen Turbo Kid, you need to watch that movie. But this
that stupid
is
piece
those
of shit
guys'
movie about that robot
new
dog is
movie
coming out this weekend.
And I'm really excited for it. So that's going to be screening at Alamo Drafthouse, DC area, Ashburn, Wednesday for Film Club. Can't wait. But that's it, man. I've kind of kept myself in a cave. And I've been watching Castle Rock. I know we don't talk about television all that much. You're the TV guy. I'm not. That's why we're called the Epic Film Guys and not the Epic Film and TV Guys. But that Castle Rock series has just totally nabbed me, grabbed me, pulled me in. And Bill Skarsgård, man, I just can't wait to see him back as Pennywise, the Dancing Clown in It Chapter 2. He's fantastic in Castle Rock. I'm really excited.
If we ever get that movie, apparently did he try to eat?
Yeah, James McAvoy.
Yeah, I couldn't even think of his. Why are names? I can't do names tonight. I don't know why. But
you had a long day. You had a long, long day.
Tried to eat James McAvoy on set.
Dude, well, he saw all that muscle mass that he gained for Split and then for Glass, and he's like, he just wanted to rip it off him with his fangs. But no, I even said on the Facebook, all that muscle mass can't save you from Pennywise. It's James McAvoy got injured in a fight scene with Bill Skarsgård as Pennywise. So that's great. They're getting physical.
Speaking of getting physical, happy birthday, Amy Adams.
44 to that goddess.
Who walks amongst us. She is amazing. And I absolutely love her. Like I said, I got the chance to see four movies. I'll talk briefly about a couple of them. Justin had a chance to see a couple of them previously and talked about them on the show, so I don't want to spend a lot of time. Main review tonight is going to be for Crazy Rich Asians, which, spoiler alert, and I actually did this earlier on Twitter because Dan posted a thing asking what our favorite movies of 2018 so far were, and Crazy Rich Asians in my top five. That's how good it is. So I can't wait to talk about it a little bit.
I'm hearing
later
a lot of stuff about it, man.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, man. When I saw the trailer, I was like, that's not a movie for me, but then I've seen so many of my peers and other podcasts, people loving it. Unfortunately, I have not had the opportunity to see it, and I was kind of waiting for you to tell me
you
that
it was
that good.
You have not had the opportunity. Did you just like become cartoonishly Italian?
I mean, I am Italian. That's a thing.
You're not a cartoonish. You're not like Mario plumbing those pipes, right?
Hey, Mario. Hey, Luigi. No, but it's funny. I really do want to see that. I still want to see Black Klansman. I've been slacking, dude. I am not an epic film guy for the past 2 weeks. I've been an epic lame no-name guy that no one gives a shit about.
I've seen so much at the theater.
I'm proud of you. I'm very, you know what? I got to say this to the show. People listening to the show, to our patrons, I'm proud of you. Because the past couple months, ever since you joined this AMC Stubbs member club thing or whatever the hell it is, you've been killing it, dude. You've been legit killing it. You've been actually making the best of it and seeing everything you possibly can.
I have, which is nice. Even though I don't get to see, usually don't get to see three movies a week, I would love to. But it's a matter more now of time than anything else. But the most important thing is I still get to see probably like 6 to 8, if not more, movies at the theater every single month for $20 a month. So you can't really complain about that, even if I'm not getting to see every single thing that I possibly can. So like I said, Crazy Rich Asians, I'll talk about that a little bit later. Isle of Dogs from Wes Anderson, want to talk about that a little bit later. Let me indulge you, Justin, really quick here at the top of the show. Something that I wanted to talk about is a movie called Blockers, a comedy starring John Cena, Ike Barinholtz, which Ike Barinholtz, for me, your mileage may vary. Sometimes I think he's funny. Sometimes I want to stab him in the eyes. This was the latter. Leslie Mann. And also, the one thing about this movie, and I don't want to spend really any time talking about it almost at all, but I liked it. I liked it. It wasn't nearly as funny as I thought it could have been, but I will say that this film does a few things right by itself. Number one, it doesn't shy away from the conversation of teenage girls and sex, and that being teenage girls that love to have sex. You know, it doesn't shy away from that. It actually kind of focuses on that. And the film is really a really nice film from two perspectives. You get the perspective of the parents, who John Cena is by far. I love John Cena so much. And he is infinitely charismatic in this as he is in everything. So he's great.
But you could see him in the movie, right? You saw him. You could see him in the movie.
You hear him. Like, okay. I just assume he's there and I just kind of fill him in my forehead. You know what I mean?
I mean, you guys played this trick on me back in live stream for the cure. So yeah.
But yeah, he's really great in it. The trio of girls. So it's basically three adults who meet when their kids go to kindergarten. They all grow up and they have kids, and all the kids grow up and they're best friends, and it's their prom night. It's basically, if you think about it, really, it's American Pie, but with girls, but it's not 90s gross out humor. Okay.
Aww.
Catherine Nelson, Geraldine Viswanathan.
You did a great job. That was a great job.
Yeah. Viswanathan. And Gideon Alden.
Viswanathan.
So the trio of young girls is actually the best part of the movie. They're the best performances in the movie. They're extremely convincing. They are all, of course, very young girls. So it works perfectly. And like I said, it doesn't shy away from, you'd think a movie like this, Justin, would try to be sheltering or would try to be whatever, but it doesn't shy away from the conversation of, these are three young girls who basically enter a pact to lose their virginity on prom night, you know? And as Loy Sauce would say, hijinks ensue.
They have to ensue. Yeah. They have to kind of movie.
There's a couple of funny set pieces in it. Most of them were ruined by the trailer, so it's not really whatever. It's not really as funny as it should be for a comedy, which is kind of the reason that I'll slap a 7 out of 10 on it. But
ooh, that's still a great rating from you, though. That's a really good rating for you.
It's a recommend. But I think where the film,
for a comedy especially.
Yeah. I think where the film really hurts is that it's just, especially the scenes with the parents, who I should identify with more, didn't land as much as the scenes with the young girls. Like, the scenes with the young girls were better. And it kind of, whenever the parents are on screen, you kind of want the girls to be on screen more, because they're just better. They're just more entertaining to watch in the film.
No, I have a quick question for you. Do you think if the tables were turned and then it was more like an American Pie where it was focused on the male characters that were teenagers, Do you think you would have related more since you have two teenage boys, or would it be
possibly? But it's not really like, think about American Pie, but if they split the time evenly between like Jim's parents and the teenagers, like that's kind of what this is. Like the screen time is pretty evenly split in this film, and I don't want to spend any more time on it. It is an entertaining film. I would recommend it, but not as a comedy. I don't think it's like laugh out loud funny. You're going to chuckle a few times during it, but it's the father-daughter relationships. They sell them really well. They work. And like I said, the relationship, especially between the three girls, and it doesn't shy away from girls in high school wanting to have sex. I think that that's the best thing that this movie does, because it could have just been one of those movies where it was like pious and like, no, blah, blah, blah.
Last question I have for you is,
yeah,
is it raunchy though? Because the original name of the movie is Cock Blockers, no. And they have like the little, no. It's not really?
Nah.
Okay. Well, like I said, I know you're the king of that. You're the king of
raunchy, gross out humor. It's not.
All right.
So,
okay.
Yep.
So real quick, before we get into our normal.
No.
Yeah. I have to remind our listeners, because this is at the top of the show. If you don't end up listening to the whole show, it's one thing you need to get real quick. If you guys are out and about, you are listening to this on Thursday or maybe Friday, August 24th, Friday, Lee Heights in Pennsylvania, the Mahoning Drive-In Theater. Come meet myself and Mr. Sneezy, A1 Loy Sauce, Loy Sox, Sneezy motherfucker for Camp Blood Part 4. Friday the 13th, Part 2, Tourist Trap, My Bloody Valentine, The Mutilator, Slaughterhouse, Freddy vs. Jason, all on 35mm. We're going to be there doing videos. I'm actually going to have some of Epic Film Guy next homebrews. And we'll have Epic Film Guy stickers, everything. Make sure if you're in the area or you're already interested in going or you are going, come meet up with us. Say what's up. We'll get to do some bro hangs, chug some fucking beers, and act a fool. So I just wanted a quick reminder in the beginning of the show, Camp Blood Part 4. I mean, everyone wants to meet Loy Sauce. I know the Hopester's best friend, Patrick Sherwood, will be there. He said he's bringing some Nerd Cheese pizza. He said he's bringing me Nerd Cheese. So I'm hoping that that happens. But ooh, that's Nerd Cheese
in a car for like an hour plus, though.
Hey, man, I've driven back from Vestal Nerd Cheese and brought it back in my trunk, put it in the fridge, and then ate it 3 hours later. It was fucking fine. It was great. No problemo.
Before we jump into our next segment of the show, I do have to have a very, very special shout out here to the Miserable Retail Slave. Justin, you remember them? Opened the live stream for The Cure for us.
Of course,
Randy and Tommy, who are apparently, they have a little crush on you. Because they were talking about your tattoos in their most recent episode, talking about your neck tattoo. Tommy was like, he pulls it off. Don't pull out your nipples, for the love of Christ.
Oh, I thought that's what they were talking about. They admired. Oh, okay.
Sorry. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe they heard about the nipples and it got them all hot and bothered. I don't know necessarily.
They used to be pierced. They used to have big rings in them. But
they were talking about it in their most recent episode. And I just thought it was really, really funny. It just, for some reason, they got in like a 2 or 3 minute conversation about your tattoos. And they were like, yeah, he wears the neck tattoo well. And they were like, he seems like a really nice guy. Little do they know, not at all true.
Hey, you wouldn't be doing a podcast with me for as long as you've been doing it if that wasn't nice.
Go fuck yourself.
Right?
Wow.
Right? Right? Who, I mean, come on.
Who invited the frog? But yeah, so special shout out to them. I love those guys. Now, Justin, before we go any further, I've got a lot of other stuff to talk about tonight, but I gotta know, what are you drinking?
I'm back! Puke and Rally! Yeah. Woo!
Give me a beer! So a very quick story.
No.
Very, very quick. On Saturday, I went to D.C. I went to D.C., Nick, because Other Half, one of my favorite breweries that does the New England style that I love and talk about so much on the Epic Film Guys podcast, was doing a giant can release in D.C. So I decided, well, fuck it. I'll go there and grab a couple of 4-packs, not go over the top. I'm going to go there and grab some beer. And they did not reply to any of my comments. They did not reply to my messages. But based on their Instagram and their Facebook feed, it looked like they had tons of beer and there was plenty to go around. So I mosey my way into DC about an hour and a half in there. And of course, well, guess the fuck what? It's sold out. It's sold out. I walk into this place called The Brewery, and it's not spelled like a regular brewery. It's spelled like B-R-U-E-R-Y at Union Market, which is a great place to go hang out for good beers and food. And I was pissed. And they actually offered me one of the bottles that was only offered to their mug club members there. It was a stout, and it was $20. And I was so mad at other half, I said, you know what? Fuck y'all. And I looked in their cooler, and they had this beer that I had talked about a little bit on the show. I posted this actually in the Hopester's Dumpster a few months ago. It's the Relax, It's Just Hazy IPA from Offshoot Beer Company. It is everything it looks like. Bitterness on the back end. It's juicy. It's got citrus, centennial, Simcoe, and Amarillo hops. Fruity, tropical, citrus notes. And a really nice creamy mouthfeel. It's a very low-end beer.
Mouthfeel?
6.8% alcohol by volume. Of course, no information on the IBUs. But this is something that I had a few months ago that I talked about in the show when I was going kayaking in Georgetown and found it randomly and didn't think I could find it anywhere else. So they had this in the fridge. So the entire experience wasn't totally wasted. I like this beer a lot, as you could see. Looks like every single other New England on the planet, but I really like this one. It's probably my top 10 New England's ever had.
Well, it looks and sounds absolutely delicious. Speaking of mouthfeel, just a quick note here about Emily from the story behind our very, very dear friend is releasing a book called The Story Behind. So in order to celebrate that, and because we want her to be like literally the biggest success. She's literally the most wonderful person on the planet. She's amazing. We want this to be a huge success for her. So we on the Epic Film Guys are giving away not one, but two copies of the Story Behind book. One next month and one in October. You'll get more details about that coming up. The book releases in mid-October. There will be a link to it on Amazon down in the show notes. So please check that out if you want to just purchase the book, which please do. Please support her. She's amazing and she really, really deserves it. But we're going to be giving away two copies of it here on the podcast. I don't know exactly what. Maybe I'll talk to Emily and maybe I'll see if she wants to put together some kind of little quick trivia game or whatever. Like, remember so long ago she did Where in the World is the Lisp, which
the old like days.
Such good stuff that she has done for this show. Immeasurable. We can never ever thank her enough for a lot of what the Epic Film Guys is now. It's all because of her. We really, really have to say that.
I sucked a dick last night.
Emily. I don't know why she had to.
The shoe fits. You know, when you come on the show, things just happen. You just get taken over.
I don't know why she had to take it to that kind of place.
I know how it feels, Emily. I know how it feels.
There's usually something right about now that you'll ask me, Justin. See if I can. Can I hear it? No? Nope.
Oh, yeah. What do you got guzzling down your gullet this evening?
Sweet, merciful.
What happened there? I have no idea what happened there.
Jesus, did you black out for a second there?
Hearing Emily's name and that where in the world was the, whatever his name was.
Whatever his name was.
It went more rainbow than black. I think I saw a rainbow color.
God in heaven. Well, Justin, not too long ago, we went over to Consoles right here in Endicott. You know the place. You've been there. They just redid their front lounge, and they have a brand new bourbon lounge, they're calling it. I don't really know if it's really a bourbon lounge. There's maybe four seats in it and like a big Italian family style table in the back, but it's really, really nice. And what they started offering at Consoles is bourbon flights. And one bourbon that I had when I was there, Justin, and I actually already talked about this on the Restaurant Podcast, that other show I do, which is on break right now until season 4 begins later in September. I had a bourbon, Justin, called Eagle Rare. This is their 10-year, and I fell in love with this when I had it as part of the bourbon flight, Justin. It tastes like sweet whipped cream. It's incredible. You want to talk about mouthfeel? It feels like you're falling into a soft pillow of bourbon. If that even makes sense, or if you can even visualize that, or visualize that on your taste buds, maybe, like, if you can figure that out. It's so smooth, like, infinitely smooth. It doesn't have any kind of burn or any kind of bite at all. It's just sweet and pillowy and beautiful and smooth. A little bit, like, it's kind of like a, if you kind of mesh together a caramel and a sweet cream. I mean, they're both milk anyway, really. So it's kind of the same thing. But it's just incredible. You know what the good thing about this bourbon is, too? $35. $35, so it's not expensive. It's very, very middle of the road price-wise. Not nearly as crazy as a couple of bottles of bourbon I've spent money on in the past. So there's that. But yeah, absolutely, absolutely fantastic. So ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here. And when I come back, we're going to talk about crazy rich Asians, or at least I'm going to. I'm going to tell Justin all about it as he shines a laser pointer on his face. Are you Justin, the red-nosed lisp guy? Jesus Christ. You know what? Justin needs it to be October already, because I feel like his horror boner has been growing steadily since the last week or so of July, and it'll finally exhaust itself right in time for movies around the Christmas season. Just saying.
I can't even tell you enough. I have two whole bags of Brock's candy.
I saw them
over there.
You fucking fat bastard.
Okay.
How are you supposed to compete in the fitness challenge?
I only have like a couple bites. The girls like them. But I do have a few handfuls. I had the one pumpkin beer. The only reason I only had one pumpkin beer, Nick, is because none of the other pumpkin beers are out yet.
That reminds me, I forgot to mention it during What Are You Drinking? But yeah, my number 38 IPA, we're going to let that age now. I had one. It was very young, less than a week ago. It was bottled. I think it was last Tuesday because I had that day off from the call out. That was when I bottled it. So it was like 5 days in carbonation. Harsh. Kind of harsh.
I really want you to make me a pumpkin beer. I want a pumpkin beer, Nick, that tastes exactly like pumpkin pie.
I could do that.
Like, seriously. Not like the you know, I want balance, like a good pumpkin pie. Creamy. You even taste the whipped cream on the top. The graham cracker, or graham, that one, it's not graham, but whatever it is, the kind of, you know, crust. All about that shit. The crust. It's not graham cracker.
I've already
crust,
made like, beer that tastes like toast. I can definitely get to pie crust.
There you go. That's, I want a totally beer that tastes like, you could a pumpkin
do
pie.
Pumpkin. You could do pumpkin in the boil. Actually, you could do pumpkin in primary. Tons of lactose to make it really, really creamy. Pumpkin there pie spices. Yep. Cinnamon sticks, whole nutmeg. You could throw those in there, let them sit in primary. And then, I don't know. I think it could turn out pretty interesting.
Are you saying you're going to do this for me? Or?
Now I kind of want to. But then,
I mean,
here's the problem.
Think of it. You make your own pumpkin beer. What if you actually like it? What if you like it, though? What if you make your own pumpkin beer and you're like, I actually like pumpkin beer?
What if it tastes like, I don't know, a pumpkin's asshole?
I'll drive up there and get it.
You probably will. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here, roll in to some EFG history, which once again is about to turn 1 year old. We'll be right back. Crazy Rich Asians. I've got other movies to talk about and more giveaways, more contests that we need to talk about before the end of the show. So we'll be right back. This week in epic film history. All right, we're live in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Hey!
hey yourself.
How you be?
Jesus Christ.
How is you? Prime time bitch! What are you calculating on? You're calculating this evening?
Wow. That sounded like, you know, strung out crack addict Justin.
I don't know, man. Maybe the Hopester is just, you know, he's gone over the edge.
I'm eventually, you know, in another 20 episodes or so, there's not even going to be an Epic Film Guys podcast. It's just going to be Justin's Epic Character podcast, where it's like him and, you know, 7 or 8 other characters. I'm becoming less and less important as Justin rolls out more of these crazy characters. I'm sure the Hobster's going to stumble in here at some point, steal the mic away. And who knows, if we talk about veiny, throbbing sausages and meats long enough, I'm surprised with the pickles, the lisp didn't come out. We are live in 5, 4, 3, 2. Good morning. This is going to be that
episode. You're on a roll, dude. You're on a roll.
Yeah, this is going to be another one of those episodes that we just never get off the fucking ground. It takes like 7 takes.
Hey, you know, give me a review. Tell me what you want to hear on this program.
0 stars. Stupid guy keeps begging me for McDonald's.
I've been finding a way around begging lately. I've been getting a lot of, you know, handouts. I don't even have to ask. You know, I actually got a hold of an Epic Film Guys t-shirt for free that Dan Brennick gentleman left at someone's house that got thrown out into the trash. Now, I know that a couple people on the street must have heard of you guys because they said, hey, those Epic Fail fucking dudes, hey, you're cool, you're wearing the shirt, you deserve some change, something to eat. I even got me an old moldy pack of Pall Mall cigarettes out of the deal.
Whoa. 5, 4, 3, 2. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this episode of the Epic Film Guys podcast for Thursday, August the 25th, 2016. I am Epic Film Bep. Epip.
Epip. You're the Epip.
Epip. Epip Film. Epip Film Guy.
I want to just grab some talking back.
You have to do this entire episode as sassy black woman from New Orleans, Justin.
Like that time you said, I didn't order my transcript 2 months ago. Where is it?
Okay, dude. I can't understand a thing you're saying. It is a little bit morbid when you think about it. You know, their buddies, they're on a journey to find the body of a missing boy. You know,
Sixth Sense, Fern.
I haven't found my pennies yet.
Stop with the goddamn nipples. You people out there that are listening right now, we live stream the show on Twitch when we record it. Go back in the show. I don't even know what the timestamp is. About 44 and a half minutes. If you want to see Justin's nipples on Twitch, watch the video. He's also out of beer. So welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very, very, very much. Now, this is very rarely the case here, but I'm going to talk about a movie that Justin didn't get a chance to see. And I'm going to talk about a movie that I mentioned this earlier to Justin. I put together a short list really quick of my top 5 of the year so far for our good friend Dan of Netflix and Swill. And this film makes that top 5 list. I'm talking about Crazy Rich Asians, which on its surface, Justin, is literally the most stereotypical kind of rom-com that you can think of. But when you go into this movie, whether you think you're going to get kind of a generic rom-com or not, you're going to. But this movie is so fucking charming. It immediately pulls you into its world. It immediately invests you in the characters. You get to see some absolutely gorgeous, and I mean gorgeous, cinematography of a city that you just don't ever get to see in film. You get to see Singapore, and they shoot the ever-loving hell out of the city. Okay? And every character in this, even the kind of one-off sideshow characters, are so kind of entrancing and so kind of charming. And then the main cast gives such great performances. It's so engrossing. Like, I can't recommend enough to people to see this movie, just because, for one thing, it's an all Asian cast, an absolutely spectacular all Asian cast. Constance Wu, and I talked about this when I talked about Ant-Man and the Wasp, but she also stars in Fresh Off the Boat, which is a sitcom, which she's also fantastic in. Incredible in this movie. Absolutely incredible in this movie. Michelle Yeoh is in this movie. Literally every single Asian actor or actress that you've ever heard of or ever seen anything is in this movie at some point. Ken Jeong is in this movie, the dude from the Hangover movies and the dude from Community. Harry Shum Jr., the guy from Glee, is in this movie. And Nico Santos, which he's in a sitcom called Superstore that Ada loves to watch, but it's pretty funny. I catch it in the background sometimes. Literally every Asian actor or actress that you've ever seen is in this movie, which, say what you will about the exposure of Asian actresses in the Western,
there's one thing I could say about this without seeing it, just to jab in a little bit here. This is the first time we've seen an all-Asian cast in an American-released film like this, pretty much ever. This is like a first.
And what I think what resonates with this film so much with people is you kind of watch this thing and you kind of, at least for me, you're sitting in the theater, you have a kind of outsider's perspective almost. But when you watch it, you realize, like, it kind of bridges your common humanity with it. Doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter where you're born in the world. Family's still family. Family's still super fucked up. And, like, really, no matter where you are in the world, no matter what kind of person you are, you still have to deal with things like living up to your family's expectations, to finding love, to dealing with love and rejection. You know, you have crazy friends, you have crazy shit that happens to you, crazy kinds of drama, people that are jealous of you and everything. So I haven't told you what the movie's about yet, Justin. So basically, Constance Wu plays Rachel Chu, who is a Chinese American. She's a professor. And she starts dating this guy named Nick. Huh.
Ooh.
Yeah. You get this, like, kind of quick scene at the beginning of the movie where you get to see the young family who buys this hotel in London, like kind of a one-off thing, which just kind of shows their wealth and their status and everything like that. You flash forward to this, but she meets this Nick guy, not knowing that he is the heir apparent to this family's entire fortune and to, like, take over the company and do all this different stuff. So they've been dating for a while, and he decides to take her home to Singapore to meet his family because he's the best man in his friend's wedding. So they go to Singapore, and as the sauce would say, Justin, hijinks.
That's a lot of cum.
Hijinks.
You clicked the wrong button. You clicked the wrong button. Always going down the dirty hole, the dirty brown hole.
If this movie does one thing well, it invests you in some of the side characters. It at least gives them a little bit of character development and a little bit of a character arc. Gemma Chan plays Astrid Young, and number one, literally one of the most gorgeous women you will ever lay eyes on. Not even kidding. She's gorgeous. But she has her own little subplot in the movie. A lot of the little kind of smaller characters, like I said, they're almost just, they're flat characters. They're very, very one-dimensional. You don't get to, like, explore their characters a lot, but they all add something to it. They all add something. You have Awkwafina in this movie, who is fucking hilarious. Ken Jeong in this movie, of course, is absolutely hilarious. Nico Santos in this movie, absolutely hilarious. But then you have Michelle Yeoh, who plays Eleanor. She's Nick's mother. And, of course, they are a very, very traditional kind of Chinese family, and especially because they're a wealthy family, they can't have anything reflecting poorly on them, etc., etc., etc. And she, like, immediately kind of looks down her nose at Rachel. She's very, very like, this is what my son deserves, this is the position that my son is to occupy in life. Like, I mean, think about it. Like, who doesn't have controlling parents? Who doesn't have to deal with their parents' expectations, their family's expectations of them? It's kind of a universal thing. And I love movies like this that take you to a different place, a different time, but they still play with common themes. And I think that's why this film is resonating with so many people. And it's just, I cannot say this enough a million times during this review. It is so fucking charming. You will get wrapped up in the world of this film so much. You'll feel like you're Rachel being judged by Michelle Yeoh's character. You'll feel like you're just part of this world, and you get to see just some of the most breathtaking, spectacular shots when you see the city of Singapore, when you get to see all these different things, all these different places. It's just absolutely beautiful. I don't even want to go on about it anymore, because it's one of those things that has kind of got to be experienced to really, really believe it and to really, really invest yourself in it. It's my number four of the year right now, and it seems weird to say that because I had no idea what this movie was until I sat in the theater to watch it.
That's crazy, and I've heard a lot of other people in our podcast realm, amazing, film critique realm, loving it. I have yet to see someone say it was all right. Everyone said they've really enjoyed it, and I'm glad that you're enjoying it. I may have to get out of my way and
an incredible go see film. It. Like I said, it's so charming. It's definitely a beat for beat rom com. You can predict where the story is.
See, that's what scares me. That's what scares me, Nick. As a fan. But that's not a bad thing.
That's not a bad thing, and I'll tell you why. Because we've talked about
this. I know you
this.
Like those more than I do.
We've talked about this many times on the show before, though, Justin. We've talked about the number of plots there are in the world. There are only so many plots to go around.
That's right. You're right. The creative team that
you get behind it. It's the cast. It's everything involved. If you can take an ordinary story and turn it into something that's just charming and beautiful and investing and engaging, that's all you need to do. This film came out of nowhere for me. It completely surprised me. I'm throwing a 9 out of 10 on this. I absolutely loved this movie. You've got to see this movie.
Wow.
You've got, if you're listening,
I can't believe it. 9 out of 10?
9 out of 10, baby. If you're listening to this, you have to see this movie. It is a charming, charming, charming. I can't say that word enough. When you walk out of the theater, you're going to feel the same way. You're going to feel like this movie was so, so charming. You get so wrapped up in Rachel and Nick's love story. It's just wonderful. It's so right, wonderful, now, dude.
I have to ask, do I get to see any Asian nudity in it?
You do not, because it's rated PG-13.
No Asian dong.
No Asian ass. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Just asking. Not even,
I know.
Just
Ken asking Jung's for those of you would think you'd get to see
just,
his ass
just
too.
Saying, but well, no. there's that, and there's those of our listeners that we know that have the dirtiest minds in the world because we are the gutter of the podcast realm, and they hope to get tidbits of whatever the dirty parts are of the movie, and that they may be possibly as raunchy as you hope they may be, Nick. But 9 out of 10 for you—that's crazy.
It's good.
I might have to go out of my way to see this. I'm shocked.
So good. I can't even begin to describe it any more than that. I don't want to spoil anything else about the movie, except for, like I said, when you sit down to the theater, the plot is going to go in the places that you expect it to go to. But it's still great when it goes there. It's still great when it goes there. And you're going to laugh your ass off. You're going to cry. You're just going to have such a great, wonderful time. You're going to be warmed in the heart. And you're just going to walk out of this absolutely loving this movie. At least I did. And I really, really hope that that's kind of the experience that everybody else has. So there it is. 9 out of 10 for Crazy Rich Asians. I really think you should see it, Justin. I really, really think you should. Just to see how you react to it and how it kind of, you know, gets to you. Like, see if it kind of evokes that same kind of response from you. I wonder if it will. I don't know.
We'll have to see. Only time will tell.
So, so good. But before we roll out on the show, I did want to briefly mention Game Night, and I did want to briefly mention Isle of Dogs. Justin's already talked about them on the show before. We'll get there in just a moment here. But Justin, the end of the year is speeding toward us like a fucking locomotive, dude. It's already the end of August. We've only got a few months left to go. So, we're the epic film guys, Justin. We can't just sit and do nothing.
Are we? Are you sure? I was hoping that the rest of the year I would get to sit home and do nothing.
Well, I want to sit home and do nothing. But instead, so as you guys know, especially if you're longtime listeners, you're longtime fans of the show, my weight and my health is something that I have especially had a really, really hard time with lately. And I really need to work harder to kind of lose weight and to kind of get myself to a point where I'm in a lot better shape and a lot better place. So in that spirit, I have announced the first ever Epic Film Guys Fitness Challenge.
Fitness Challenge. You heard that right, ladies and gentlemen. Fitness.
Fitness.
This isn't a challenge where you drink a lot of beer. This is not a fitness.
We'll
leave all those yoga, drinking beer, doing, you know, crunches with beer in your hand things aside right now. No. I know, but no, this is not a challenge to watch movies. This is a fitness challenge.
Fitness challenge. So ladies and gentlemen, it's this simple. Number one, you get to win a ton of prizes. I'm going to give away a ton of prizes for most mileage. The honorary Scott LaVar Fastest Pace Award. I asked him if he was going to win his own award. He said he didn't know. The, you know, most improved. And we're going to have daily challenges. We're going to have weekly winners. all sorts of stuff. We're going to have Epic Film Guys water bottles. I'm going to have Justin design a brand new Epic Film Guys shirt. We're going to give away all the proceeds for this shirt for the month of September to charity. I haven't decided which one yet. I'll work on that. But I want to get everybody together and to incentivize you guys a little bit, because, you know, I have not seen a lot of movies. And I know there's a lot of movies that a lot of people want to subject me to that they know I won't like, and they want to hear me bitch about them or whatever the case may be.
That's right. That's right.
So, as a community, and my miles count toward this as well, Justin's miles count, anybody's miles count toward this, count towards the total. Every 25 miles, the community gets to pick another film that I have to watch. And I'm even going to watch some of them live in the Hopester's Dumpster with our fans, just to have that much fun with it. It's going to be it's going to be crazy. It's going to be fun. But the most important thing is we're going to be healthy. We're going to exercise. I want a lot of people to get out and let's help to motivate each other. Let's help to push each other. Let's help to drive each other toward our goals. We're going to be doing some lifting stuff, strength exercises, all sorts of stuff. And then cardio. Justin's kissing the ape man. I saw you kiss that ape man.
That ain't no ape man. That's their King Kong, boy.
But yeah. So like, yeah. Epic Film Guys Fitness Challenge. Head over to the Hopester's Dumpster for more information. There's an announcement post up in the group about it right now. A lot of people are already condemning me. I'm going to be watching a lot of movies, guys, because there's a lot of people that are like, oh my God, I'm going to crush this. Dan Brennick is going to run on a treadmill literally the entire month of September. Literally, he's not even going to stop ever. So I'm just going to have to watch a lot of movies. But it's important to me.
I personally think that it's the best challenge we've ever come up with.
It's great.
On the show. Because you can have fun. It has to do with movies. It's for a good... Again, it's great. It's a positive thing. And we're not saying you can't drink. We're not saying you can't drink. Just saying, try to be safe and not drink while you're doing the exercise. Because you don't want to get dehydrated and fall and, you know, smash your face on the pavement while you're running around. Don't be drinking the bourbon that Nick's drinking while you're out on a mile run or something.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But no, for real, I love you for this idea. And it's a great fantastic idea. I'm all about this.
I really think fantastic this is something I want to bring back like every 6 months or so, too. Like, and not do it once a year. I really think this is something I want to kind of do every 6 months. Let's just remind each other about exercise. Let's remind each other about staying healthy, staying connected, staying positive as a community of Epic Film Guys listeners, of podcasters, whatever. You know, I want us to all work together and help each other. And we're going to raise a little bit of money, not a ton. We're not going to do a whole huge thing like the live stream for the cure and take donations and all that stuff. Just whatever proceeds we make from the shirts and the water bottles, that's what's going to go over toward whatever charity I choose. I haven't really decided yet, but we'll figure that out. So Hopester's Dumpster, check out information for that. October, Justin, 31-day horror challenge is coming back bigger and better than ever. 31 days of horror movies. We're definitely going to come up with some prizes. I'm trying, ladies and gentlemen, to get Justin to design more shirts that we can give away and we can have people get to celebrate these events like a horror. Why is Justin never, in 3.5 almost years of the podcast, he's never designed an EFG horror shirt? Can you believe this man who literally the mention of Jason Voorhees or the opening bars of John Carpenter's Halloween theme gives him an erection that will last longer than 4 hours.
This is true. You know,
has not deserved,
this year might
designed
be
a
that
horror
year.
Shirt.
This year might be that year. It may just have to happen. Last year was a little tough because I was out there in South
Pasadena,
hitting up all those Halloween locations out on a family adventure with my girls. But this year I won't be going anywhere except for wherever I have to go to see David Gordon Green's Halloween. That's where I'm going. In full costume, mind you. Ooh, that may be a tease. We'll see what happens there. What? No. God, no, but no, you're totally right. And it's possible. Maybe a horror shirt could be on its way. Maybe there'll be more than one and you'll have to vote on it. We'll see what happens.
So 31-day horror challenge, the month of November. Never seen it November, coming back for a fourth year. One of our favorite challenges that we love to do, challenge yourself to watch at least 10 new films in the month of November, 10 films that you've never seen before. I've seen a lot of really good movies as part of Never Seen It November over the past few years. I know you have as well, Justin. And it's just a really, really fun challenge. A lot of people love to get involved in that one. And then December, I'm thinking about it right now.
I'm thinking about it, too. It's Home Alone 2 month where you have to watch Home Alone 2 every day of the month.
It may be. We may have to do the second annual Bronzember.
That'd be amazing. There were a lot of movies that you did not get to watch last year. So I'd love that idea.
Yeah, so
bring back Bronzember every year.
I feel like we just Bronson's one of those things about the Epic Film Guys that I think we just have to celebrate year to year. So I'm pretty sure we're gonna be doing Bronzember again. Emily's book, 2 free copies. Don't forget, when we reach 150 Apple Podcast reviews, we're giving away 3 $25 gift cards and tons of other EFG swag. If you're a member of the Hobster's Dumpster, which number one, if you're not, why not? Why not? Because yesterday in the Hobster's Dumpster, I just gave away 4 of those 5x5 EFG magnets, 2 posters, and a Mr. Rogers little pop keychain. Just a whole bunch of gifts. Just gave them away just for you guys. Because we love you. All you got to do to get to be a part of those giveaways is join our free Facebook group. Jump right in there. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. We love to give stuff away. We love to treat you fans and thank you for supporting the show and every single thing that you do for the Epic Film Guys. Because we love you guys. We do. We absolutely love you.
We love you. We love you. I love you. I love you. We love you.
Yes. We absolutely do. Now, Justin, before I roll out on the show here, really quick, I wanted to mention 2 movies that I got the chance to see. The first of which is Game Night, which this goes out to our very good friend from the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews, Wayne.
I sucked a dick last night.
That guy. What the fuck is wrong with you? Now, would you believe that a comedy movie right in Wayne's wheelhouse, Justin. Wayne doesn't like it. Paul loves it. I really enjoyed it. And I know you really
enjoyed it. I loved it. Yeah. I was shocked by it because I had no anticipation. Didn't think anything of it. It got some decent reviews. So I was like, yeah, why not? Let's go see it. And I was blown away by how much fun I had. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was entertaining. And I thought that the director did some really cool things with the camera work and how they directed it and blah, 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 blah. Performances were good. Whatever. Jason Bateman's in it. So, and Rachel McAdams. That's enough for me. But yeah. I really did enjoy it a lot.
Yeah. Rachel McAdams is, oh God. But it's
I know.
A really,
I know.
Really entertaining film. Lamorne Morris is in this and he played Winston in The New Girl, which more sitcom actors. Like, man, I absolutely love him. He, as far as I'm concerned, steals the show in this. I absolutely love him. He and Jesse Plemons, who is legitimately the creepiest motherfucker on the planet. Creepiest motherfucker on the planet. If you've ever seen the 5th season of Breaking Bad, he's the really blonde dude. He also looks exactly like Matt Damon. So
he does, except for a less attractive version.
Boom. And I don't know. Saying. For me, I thought what it did was I thought it subverted a number of tropes of this kind of movie. It kind of lampooned a few others. And I think the comedy was just really genuine. I really think you buy the chemistry between the couples in the film. And I think that that's what really, really kind of boosted it and helped it out. I don't know. I feel like it's a really entertaining movie. I'm going to give this one a 7 out of 10 as well. I think it's really good. Definitely recommend it. It's out on Blu-ray right now. So, yeah. Definitely check it out.
I liked it a lot, too. And I'm not the comedy guy, so there's that. Definitely I thought check this it out movie was
hilarious. Way fucking funnier than Blockers was. Way funnier than Blockers was, which this one I don't think was sold as like a straight up comedy. Like it was just, you know, a comedy thriller or whatever. Like kind of a.
Well, that's why I liked it. It played around with it a little bit more than you usually see. And like I said, it was a little bit more.
You know what my favorite scene in the movie is, Justin? Is the scene where she has to try to remove the bullet from his arm. That's my favorite scene of this fucking movie. I love
That's so hilarious.
I won't spoil it for anybody if you haven't seen it, but see it. It's. I think it's absolutely
a part
hilarious.
Of it's in the trailer. A part of that scene is in the trailer, part but when you is. Watch the movie, it's way better seeing it in the actual film.
So there's that. And I also got the chance, Justin, finally, to see the latest film from Wes Anderson, Isle of Dogs.
I love dogs, too.
I can't remember exactly what you said about this movie. I'm pretty sure that you enjoyed this movie a lot. I also really, really enjoyed this movie. I think it's a really, really good movie. I really loved that it kind of kept all the Japanese people speaking Japanese. And then you would have random narrators and all sorts of other different stuff. It's got that kind of very dry Wes Anderson style of humor to it in a lot of places. So you have to be, I think especially this movie more so than some of his other movies, I think you have to be a Wes Anderson movie to really love this movie. I'm a Wes Anderson fan, so I really, really love this movie. I'm giving it an 8 out of 10. It does make my top 5 of the year list. Barely edges out a couple other movies that are also, you know, A Quiet Place and Black Panther. Both movies that have the same score. But I think this, and I think the best thing about this is Bryan Cranston. I mean, let's talk about it really quick. Edward Norton, Bob Balaban, Bill Murray, and Jeff Goldblum,
yep,
as the other four fucking dogs. I mean, they're literally comic relief in the movie. That's literally all they do the entire time. But they're so fucking funny, especially Jeff Goldblum, always hearing rumors about all this different stuff. Like, it's just constant playbacks to different stuff. It's so fucking funny. And, like, the four of them are just amazing. And, I mean, obviously, you know, what you're kind of used to in terms of a Wes Anderson film. They're all Wes Andersonites, as it were. But then Cranston, I think, and I'm watching through Breaking Bad again right now, Justin, so I'm kind of appreciating Cranston more so than I normally would have in this performance.
Oh, rightly so, rightly so.
Because
God damn it,
Cranston brings that kind of really hard-ass attitude to Chief when he's trying to be standoffish and he's trying to be like, no, I don't want anything to do with this. I don't want anything to do with any of these kids, anything like this. And then he slowly kind of transforms over the course of the film as he guides young Atari across the titular Isle of Dogs to try to find Spots, his own dog. It's so charming. It's such a wonderful movie. And the stop motion animation is just literally phenomenal. I think that's
the main reason why, aside from performances, because you could have had those performances in any movie.
If this was just animated, I don't think it would have been as charming as it was.
It literally is for me, all the detail, every single speck of fur that moves and the way the eye, it literally, that's something that I've grown up with, stop motion animation. I know it's a dying art to some,
hey, Justin,
but we still get these movies like this.
I bite.
There you go. And I love it. That's what I've told kids when they try to come pet my dogs and it's late at night and they're out still playing in the yard or the road here near my apartment building. And I'm like, they bite. So I don't want you to come over and try to pet my dogs. I want to get back inside so I can go watch a schlocky horror film. But I feel like the story itself, and I'm sure you'll agree, we've seen this story before.
We have.
In Isle of Dogs. Plenty of times. But it's just done so perfectly. And the charm that Wes Anderson brings to all of his movies, it's definitely his movie. It feels, it looks, it sounds, it is a Wes Anderson movie. And it charmed me. And the one thing that I loved about it, on top of that, to end my thoughts about it, even though I talked about it a little bit on the show a few months ago, is that you could take your kids to this movie. Yep. Kids can go into this movie. They can enjoy it. They can be charmed by the animation and the dogs and still love it. There's a heartwarming feeling to it. But yet, as an adult, you can watch it. As a Wes Anderson fan, you could be satisfied by it. So that's why I liked it a lot.
Well, and you know what? The one criticism I have of this is back in Megasaki, there's this student played by Greta Gerwig, whose name is Tracy, who is legitimately the only white character in the movie. And it kind of feels like a cop-out to me. Crazy Rich Asians doesn't do this. It's an all Asian cast literally the whole time. There's no white person that randomly comes in and is like the catalyst that tries to do whatever. In this film, I really feel like it's kind of cheap to have Tracy Walker, like the one American exchange student, where's she from? Cincinnati, I think, who is the one that's in this movie who's kind of trying to rebel against the Kobayashi regime and kind of trying to get her classmates to go along with it and whatever. I feel like that's a little cheap. Like, you couldn't have just had
another
Japanese character do that. Why does it have to be legit the one white character in this movie that's, like, the only one that's smart enough to see what's going on and what the Kobayashi regime is really doing? Like, come on. Like, really, Wes Anderson? I love you, I love this movie. I still think this is a really good movie.
I felt that was a little bit out of left field for him, especially with knowing his political views and knowing, you know, dude, he wouldn't be the person you would normally think that would do that kind of thing. But it did feel a little bit strange to me that he did it. But overall, with everything else being so great about it, it was, I kind of got to forget about it.
It's the fucking cats, Justin. I wanted there to be a scene in this movie where all of a sudden you get to see the cats just like all sitting together. Like you see the dogs on the Isle of Dogs all talking and stuff. I wanted there to be a scene of a bunch of cats all sitting together and plotting and talking because it was really the cats behind it all. Now the Kobayashis love the cats, but it wasn't really the cats themselves. But that's what I wanted to see, is I wanted to see the cats being like, whoo.
So there it is from Epic Film Guy Nick. A recommendation. Actually, you gave pretty much three recommendations tonight. Every movie you watched.
Even Blockers, I don't think, is devoid of anything. Yeah, I think Blockers has its merits.
You're recommending everything you've seen, so you're being quite kind.
I'm being generous. You know what?
Are you,
maybe my heart was just open after seeing that utter shit heap. And I haven't... Tomorrow, their episode lands, but apparently Paul from the Countdown... Either he's pulling my leg something fierce, which he might be doing. He's done it before. Or he really loved the Meg. One of the two. I don't know which
it is. I'm not sure we can do that crossover in September.
I'm going to kill him.
The Meg. I don't know.
I told him I'm going to swim to Perth and kick his ass if he liked the Meg.
Knowing his horror style, and we're on the same page most of the time when it comes to that, I can't see him loving it. But we'll see.
Neither
what
can
happens.
I really, really can't. But ladies and gentlemen, that's all you're going to get tonight. Two segments. Like I said, to kind of work a couple of different things differently in the show and kind of trying to maybe pare down the runtime just a little bit, because the show does have a tendency to run really, really long sometimes. We want to get you in, get you out, and get you a quality product that you can really, really enjoy. So for myself, for Justin, for the A1 Loy Sox himself, and for all you guys out there, we love you. We appreciate every single thing that all of you do. Thank you all so, so very much for listening. And
we will see you at the movies.
Yeah. That's a lot of cum.
Yeah.